here in this wonderful town called New York City with, of all people to bump into, Gene Chatsky. How
my
are you?
Town. That's why.
It's your town.
My town. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, thank you. I'm kind of a fish out of water here. I'm usually in San Diego in the sand, but I am in the big concrete jungle here, and I'm actually loving it, though. It's really fun.
It's great. New York at this time of year is pretty much perfect.
Mm-hmm. A lot of energy in this town. Oh, my gosh. Even at 3 in the morning. Can we stop the sirens, please?
I know. I used to live very close to here, sort of over by St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital, and middle of the night, they used to have these protests where with nurses would be protesting, and the chant would be, what do we want? More nurses. When do we want them? Now. And it would go on for hours and hours and hours.
Goody.
Yeah.
Goody.
So what do we want?
Sleep.
More nurses.
We want sleep. All right, we digress a little bit. Hey, you were just in a panel discussion.
Yes.
Discussion. What did you guys talk about in there?
You know, the whole morning was about the digital transformation and the digital transformation playbook. And so we followed David Rogers, who spoke about his book. He wrote the digital transformation playbook. That is really hard to say. And Michelle McKenna Doyle from the NFL talked about how they have come along for the digital ride. And then we talked about, you know, how credit unions can incorporate some of these strategies, meet customers where they are, innovate quickly, fail quickly, you know, and decide where it is appropriate to put your resources.
So why is this stuff so important today? I mean, overview, we can see it, but from your perspective, why is it so important today?
I think the financial services landscape has gotten much more democratic over the last decade or so. I mean, you look at, if you want to borrow these days, you have many more choices.
Okay,
it's not just your credit union and your bank. You can go to the different lenders that are out there who have started online. And if you take pretty much any slice of financial services, payments with Venmo, it's all changing like that. And any company that's been around for a long time that wants to stay in business, maintain their customers, build their millennial base is going to have to transform.
No doubt, or get left in the dust.
Exactly.
Sound like a Blockbuster type of thing. Hey, recently on the Today Show, you did a story on how to handle aging parents. Great story. I want to get to the credit union connection. So how can credit unions step in here? Because this is a growing issue in our country today.
Yeah, I think credit unions, I mean, any financial institution where members come in and talk to people should be encouraging the sort of conversations between the generations. So anything that you can do to sort of guide your members along the way. I like what I call the 70-40 rule, which means if you are 70, and your kids are 40 or vice versa, and you haven't had these conversations, it is time to just, you know, bring it up, because it's not one of those things that's necessarily easy to talk about. You need the lay of the land where your parents are concerned, and you need to know, what do they want, when do they want it, who's going to pay for it. It's not a one and done. You have to keep talking about those things, and the more our institutions can help us with this, the better off we're going to be.
Yep, and credit unions can certainly step in in that area as well, I would think.
I think that credit unions are viewed as friendly financial institutions with people who are there to help you.
Yep.
I mean, that's the mission. We're there to help you, and this is a big part of the challenge.
And it's all about transparency as well, you know, especially for the kids and the parents. Transparency, key. All right, let's give you a couple of plugs here.
Oh,
your book.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Age Proof. How's that going?
Living longer without running out of money or breaking a hip.
So far, so good.
Yes, it is going well. It's going well. We hit the bestseller list, so that's been great, and I've been out and about talking about it.
Right on. And also, your podcast, Her Money, is quite good.
Congratulations
on that.
Thank you so much.
So well done.
Thank you. Yeah, we put out new episodes every week on Wednesdays, and we're having such a good time talking to really, really interesting people about careers, about finance, about investing, about raising money smart kids. So all over the map.
It's the perfect thing to, like, you know, download and go for a run and listen to it. Or if you're sitting at the airport waiting for your plane that's 2 hours late, you know, listen to the, I mean, it's great.
I think we're having the conversations that a lot of people wish they were having.
Right.
And
it's
so,
reality.
Yeah. And so just listening to them, you sort of, you get with the program a little bit.
All right, last thing here, and I'll let you go here. In your newsletter today, I just got it today, Gene Chatsky, Double the Money, Double the Fun. Just for those who didn't see it, what is it about?
My newsletter, which is called This Week in Your Wallet, is basically a digest of the important money news that came out in the past week that you should have read but probably didn't. And so this was Carl Richards' column. He's the sketch guy from the New York Times.
Yeah.
He wrote about what's enough. And that's a very interesting concept. I mean, there is a lot of research on what's enough to make you happy. And essentially, it's enough to live comfortably, not lavishly.
Right.
But beyond that, it becomes a conversation about, well, is it worth it to me to put in additional hours to earn additional money at the expense of other things that I might be doing with my time?
Right.
And it's just an important conversation to have with yourself, to have with your spouse if you have one, or your partner, and really figure out where you where you believe you should use all of your resources, time being a big one.
Do you think people think about this? Because that's what struck me about this, was this piece. Is that, do you think people really think about this?
I think
about it, but not overtly, just kind of like a subconscious thing.
I think people think about it at different points of time in their life. I mean, for Carl, who wrote this, I know this is a big thing for him. He packed up his family and moved to New Zealand. Yeah, for a year.
Nice.
And they just decided they were doing this. And he's working from there, but it's you know, they made a life choice to do this. And it's only when you get yourself to sit down and think about those sorts of things that you make the decision. I mean, he sort of put it out there. Okay, is it worth it to earn an additional X number of $1,000 if it means you're missing family dinner a few nights a week?
Right.
You know, for some people, yes. For some people, no. For some people, right now, maybe, but not down the road. And unless you stop to think about it, you just do it, and you regret it later.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. It's just a great story and a little bit of a tangent, but this is a take that I'd never seen before, so I thought I'd bring it up. But thank you very much for stopping by, Gene.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
nice
it.
To see you always.
Nice
Thank
to see you in person.
Yes.
And in your town.
In my town.
Well done. All right.